Hey, what is up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera.
And this is Rob Rucha.
And you're listening to the Robcast Podcast.
We're rolling.
Episode two of season two.
We're here
in Madison, Wisconsin at the Homewood Suites, and very homely it is.
Well, it's actually called Home Two.
Oh, Home Two.
Yeah, because it's like a second home. There's a kitchen behind you.
I know, and a dishwasher.
And a hotel room with a refrigerator and a freezer.
Yeah, the nice people at WJJO were kind enough to hook up our band and crew in this awesome place. For those who don't know, we played the Taste of Madison, which we played yesterday, August 31st. It was a BC send-off show, a very emotional night. We got to send them off to a massive crowd with the biggest non-point champion there's ever been with WJJO.
Yeah, which, I saw somebody in the crowd had a stick with the head and dreadlocks. That's yeah, Farewell BC.
Farewell BC. I mean, fans are showing a lot of love. And, I mean, he played his ass off.
You all did, man. You guys played, what, 19
Except
songs?
Except I fucked up on the truth.
You guys played 19 songs.
We did. Played 19 songs.
And I mixed front of house for you.
You sure did, damn it.
And
thank you
were
very
telling
much.
Me it was good, so I'm happy.
We had all Sonny Sandoval watching us. Had some of the POD crew there hanging out, helping out.
They're playing today.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, I had a lot of fun. And it was very, like I said, an emotional night. The end of the night consisted of three pictures, one's with the band, one with the JJO staff, and one with BC. We wanted to leave BC out there to kind of get his last taste of...
Of the taste. Because this is, what, his third one that he's played, right?
I think so, yeah.
And since he's been in the band.
Great every single time. I mean, that show...
Last night's... I mean, I've been at a few. I've recorded a
that
few.
That was the best one.
My
absolute
God.
Best one.
I was... like struggling to push the PA against the crowd,
and people like, travel far loud. To come to CBC send off, and I mean it's a free show. I mean you can't beat it.
Yeah.
And I mean I think that stage always gets the biggest crowds.
I didn't go to the other stages other than when I was walking to get food, but it I can't imagine there's not enough room for that kind of crowd at any of the other stages.
Yeah.
And the stages aren't as big.
Like, yeah, they're
the
not.
Production company. At that stage, the JJO stage is the biggest stage there.
Uh-huh.
So you would imagine that's because of the market, you know, like this is a pretty heavy rock market and it loves Nonpoint. It loves, you know, that.
There's just
scene.
Something about Wisconsin
and
Nonpoint. It's just like when we play Racine, Green Bay, Milwaukee, mm-hmm. Madison, La Crosse.
I Janesville.
Mean, Janesville.
Edgerton. You name it. Yeah, anywhere in
Ringgold,
Wisconsin.
Yeah. Wausau. Every single... I don't think I can say we have ever had a bad show in Wisconsin from the start of our career where we played at Kitt's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the name of the town. That I think that was our first Wisconsin show. Then that's when... JJO kind of...
picked
started,
you guys in, yeah.
We started our career with them. I mean... They have fixed this on power rotation. I mean, we're talking about 20 years later, and we're still getting played at that station. You know, it's like you've done band camps, the video for I Said It and Left For You.
Their 21st birthday.
We played here within this moment. We played here Megadeth. We played the Barrymore Theater, like this Christmas thing for JJO with Dope. We have done, I think we've played more shows in Wisconsin than anywhere in the country. And just the crowd last night was, I mean, they were crowd surfing, moshing and jumping. It was like everything a rock and metal show should be happened last night.
That's
I don't
the
know,
crowd, man.
It
That's,
was like
if every show could be that way. Oh.
I was joking around with the band and said we should just play this every year, just play one show a year. That show is just everything about Taste of Madison, every single taste that we have done. From the very first one we did it on a tiny stage, it wasn't even, it was so small compared to what it is now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's grown over the years because people know about it.
But every single one, and none of them have sucked. I mean, none have sucked. And yesterday was a record merch number for us. And it's just like, wow. Like, it just blows my mind how people just in this area just gravitate.
Well, and taking it to the business side for a second, they're... It's that you put your formula together. You get a band that's loved here in Wisconsin, Nonpoint. You get a free show. You get people drinking and eating all day.
Yeah,
and
the food. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, and it's got to be the greatest experience. Like, you know, I mean, I was sitting there, you know, behind the console, like, just glanced around before you guys went on, and I had my camera up filming from that point of view, and most of that shot is just all hands in the air, you know, like, and that's after an entire day. Like, they still had that energy to give back to you guys.
Yeah, it was,
and you
it
guys
was
gave that energy for 19 songs to them, and I can't imagine how you guys did that, because the night before you played in Cincinnati and drove straight from Cincinnati to Madison
without sleeping,
and then only had a few hours if you could sleep here at the hotel before having to come with us to the Taste to get soundcheck.
Yeah, and that, I didn't come back. I stayed.
No, and then you're on, and then your family came out, and you're on the whole day, and then you had to go out there and put out like you normally would after, you know, resting before the show.
I don't know. There's just something, like I said, there's...
But you get that energy from them.
You get the adrenaline.
You can't let
them
go.
And we knew that basically that I have a week or two to recover, so, you know.
Yeah, you could do it. You could give,
do
you could give the
give
150%.
I mean, we basically gave everything last night like we would as a, on a support slot of half an hour or 45 minutes.
But over an hour and a half.
Yeah, so, and it was...
And you guys actually, I mean, it was like over an hour and a half because you started at like 6:46 and you ended at like 8:18.
Yeah.
So it was like an hour and 35
Now I think
minutes.
We played 19 songs. I think we played 20. Because What a Day wasn't on the set list.
No, I'll go back and check when I'm checking the footage, because I got tons of footage coming to me as well. And
yeah, so the people who listen to this, if you buy the green pill, which is going to be put back online, you will get a copy of this show for free. So, and just have to leave your email address so you can get a link to
download. Well, if you're buying it online, we'll have your info. And if you bought it at the show, we've got your info.
Yeah.
So it's just going to take a little bit of post-production time. So don't be impatient, please.
Yeah.
Just so I can get it so that all of you will be pleased. And also, we've got so much else in the pipeline. I've got so many Nonpoint things to deal with.
Hey, I got a picture of the set list. There is 19 songs on there.
And then you added
What a Day. So we played 20 songs.
Yeah, I have a picture of it too. I didn't even
think played
about
20
that.
Songs last night, not 19.
Well, that's on par with the Majestic. That's
Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale, 20 songs.
We did 22 at Majestic.
Oh, yeah, you did. That's
22.
Right. Oh, my God.
So last night, we totally could have played like at least 10 more songs if we really wanted to.
I mean, you guys have over 180, almost 200 songs.
Yeah, I mean,
the
amount of songs you played with BC, like we didn't play Standing in the Flesh or Last Night
of
Breath.
No, no, Divide and Conquer.
We didn't play Empty Batteries. We didn't play The Same. We didn't play Breathe. There were so many. We didn't play Your Signs.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many more we could have played.
That would have been, I mean, you could definitely have done today and played an entirely different set than
yesterday.
You
could have done two nights.
And that's maybe what you got to work on. Oh my God, you imagine that kind of...
Play two shows.
I mean, I think it would work.
Because, I mean, we could probably play like a whole album.
Oh man, that would be interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, it's great show. And speaking of great shows, since I've been home, I had the opportunity to go see Iron Maiden
at
Tinley Park. And my God, like that band is, their fan base is like one of the most rabid fan bases. I have never been to a show. That Iron Maiden show marks the first show I have ever been to. But maybe I never noticed this before. But it seemed like every single person in attendance had an Iron Maiden t-shirt, and none of them were the same shirt. You got to think about
that band's been together
30-some years, all the shirts that they have made. How many different Iron Maiden t-shirts have been made in their career from the first album to now? Like, how many different t-shirts have they made? And I'm telling you, and that band just seems to grow every year because those people transfer that band to their kids.
Oh, yeah.
And those kids transfer the band to their kids.
It's a generation.
It is
a multi-generation.
Yeah, it is a that band is timeless, will never stop
having
that fan base.
Grandpa with son and grandson at the concert.
Yeah. You can see a grandpa, dad, and son. They were all Iron Maiden fans.
Three generations.
And they have fans of all ages. I saw kids there. Iron Maiden shirts. I saw teenagers. You can see them. They had their denim jackets with their patches on the back. They those their fans still wear that stuff.
Oh, I know.
Like, and just Iron Maiden is just, they are a world renowned.
Yeah,
anywhere internationally. They play, anywhere that Iron Maiden plays is going to be packed. It doesn't matter where it is in the world. Not just, oh, we do well in America, don't do well. No, we do well everywhere. And the set list, there was Legacy of the Beast Tour. The set list was like mind-blowing. Like, I knew every song. It was like, oh my God. They didn't play anything past Fear of the Dark. And they've had like 7 records after that.
Oh, right? So it was more nostalgia.
It was called Legacy of the Beast.
Right.
It was all Bruce Dickinson said himself.
At one point, I saw some footage. There was a freaking airplane.
Yeah, I think I sent that to you.
Hovering over the stage.
The show started. They play Aces High. That song is about a pilot, I think. So they have a plane over them. So how did you get a, how was the load in for that?
And then what is it? Go away?
It just goes away.
Eh?
And then every single song had a different backdrop.
And they have to do that every night?
They do it every night.
And do they play like, this isn't a like night after night tour.
No, there's they do like between, one night right? on, one night off. One
okay, because I was going to say.
One night on, two nights off.
The amount of time it would take to, you got to have the production crew get.
I mean, they may have an A and B rig, like where that next show is already being set up.
Oh, yeah. They may have to do that.
I'm not sure they do that, but they may do that. But
I know Garth Brooks did that on tour. Like he had
Metallica does that.
Yeah.
They have there's no way. That's why they're playing 2 shows a week and they're doing the stadiums. I'm sure the next stadium was already being set up.
While they're doing the show at
one. Yeah, and then that gets broken down and then...
Goes to the third show while they're playing the second
one
a week.
The first and third show is the same setup. Second and fourth and so forth.
So you have an odd number and an even number crew.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So, but what's mind-blowing to me about Iron Maiden is the fan base, the songs. Bruce Dickinson has to
their
be probably... Bruce Dickinson sings to everybody in the crowd. Mm-hmm. Not just that front row. He sang...
And for being an older band there, they still have the energy, the performance, the vocals don't strain.
They still play like they're teenagers.
He can hit every note that he's ever hit.
Like any new band that's starting out, you may not like Iron Maiden's music or whatever, but you need to go see that. And like I just left there... just like almost in a daze. Like, how is this possible? How is this band in their 60s still doing? Steve Harris, he plays soccer on his days off.
Yeah, you were telling me that.
He plays soccer. They have an actual team and they play friendly games against other teams. And the singer from the first band, The Raven Age, was a great band, by the way. Everybody needs to go check out The Raven Age. The guitar player is Steve Harris' son. And the singer from the first band, he was telling me that Steve Harris played a game, full 90 minutes.
Oh,
and that night went and played the show. Like, dude's got insane, like, it's just...
Endurance, yeah.
Endurance, you know.
Well, and to be doing it, like, you know, the way they're doing it after all these years of doing it, being able to give the fans what they want and not sacrificing. You get a lot of bands that, like, they'll take vocals in a different direction live because he doesn't. Like, all the footage I've seen, when you expect the notes he hits them.
Dude is insane. I mean, it was just mind-blowing to me. And I left inspired. And when I looked at them, I was in the crowd thinking, like, this is what I always wanted. Because Maiden had done it their own way. They followed no rules. They did everything their own way. And
well, there can only be one of those.
Yeah, you know, like, and that's what I wanted for Nonpoint, is to be able to do things my own way and not be told how to write, not be told what to do. And there's a little too much of that, I think, with bands. I get that pressure from
those higher-ups. From the industry, from the label, from people who aren't as...
I understand the label's trying to help, and they show... They're showing a way, like, to help you. They're trying to help you establish more. But I think there's just some bands out there that just have that vision that don't need that outside influence. You know, and for the most part, Nonpoint has really done it their own way in a lot of ways.
I mean, but, how you came to Uptown, that first album that you did with me with Poison Red, I think that was their... words to you were, go make a Nonpoint record, you know, like, and they let you come in and we did a record together and there was nobody over our shoulders the entire month. But at the same time, there was nobody checking in at all that entire month, so they didn't know what they were getting until they got it.
Yeah.
And that leaves a weird place where they have to then tell you, hey, this isn't exactly what we thought it was going to be, or how come you guys didn't do this? Or and this is an interesting question I wanted to ask you, and I don't know if anyone's ever asked. Left For You was written at the end of an album
self-titled.
Being done, right? The self-titled.
When we turned in the self-titled album,
they asked for more.
They didn't quote unquote hear a single. This was when we were in Razor and Tie.
So you gave them a song with There's Nothing Left For You. Is it made to kind of say to the label, I don't have anything left for you?
I don't know. You know what? That's interesting.
I need to ask Elias that.
I don't know. It could be that way. And we actually traveled to Nashville to record with amazing producer Brian Virtue at his
I remember you telling me about that.
What he has, like, my dream was to ever have a studio in the back of the house.
Yeah,
and we went and worked with him there and we turned the song in and did well on radio, you know. And
yeah,
but to me, like, Nonpoint, the thing is, we always tell people, you sign Nonpoint, you're gonna get a Nonpoint record. You know, like, we're not going to sound like anybody else.
No, because you guys have established a sound that people expect.
Like, so I think we achieved that sound back on X, where we're like, you know, there's aggressiveness. Every single bit of what people love about Nonpoint is on that record.
Mm-hmm.
Elias, he's got the thrashy vocals, he's got the heavy, there's heaviness, there's a melodic stuff, you know, like, and like, what's the name of the song?
Feel
the way I feel.
Oh yeah,
that one's got one of the best.
It's one of my favorites.
There's nothing heavy about the song, but it's one of the best songs on the record.
Chorus is explosive.
Yeah, but it's not like, I don't know. It still has this huge Elias melody.
Yes.
Over it.
One of my favorite bass lines on that record.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved playing that.
And we never played that live.
No, and it's interesting.
We might do it someday.
I think go over well. It's weird how not a lot of people are talking about that song, but when people do, they like are like, how come nobody mentions this song? It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like the hidden gem, and it's a little tucked back on the record, but it suits well in between the songs that it's placed in between. Fred killed it on that mix. I love the dynamics on it. It goes from such a cool, intimate
the bridge
verse,
is,
and you know, and then, oh my God, the bridge.
Bridge, I mean, like, happened at the studio. I
remember that.
Have a bridge there.
That's like, you know, just the way that we were working together during pre-production. It's like, we need a better middle eight section. You know, it's like something that makes a transition. And I remember when we sent that version to Fred, he was like, wow, great job on that. You know, like, he loved that bridge too.
Yeah.
Like, that was a very musical moment in the studio.
Well, Fred was so instrumental in bringing out.
Well, and that was happening before he even showed up. Like, we sent him some things to hear so he could prep, because he was kind of thrown in to the Ring of Fire last minute. You know, like, here, come save this project, please.
Which he did.
And he did. He crushed it. And it was awesome.
And I just think that the fact that all of us, we were so focused. Like, every single member was
it
focused.
It went quick.
Yeah, like, it went quick.
Bam, bam,
and
bam,
it's
bam,
still
bam.
My favorite record after To The Pain. I put them side by side, number one, both.
And some people I've seen online saying that.
You know, that's like, of all the Nonpoint albums, I think To The Pain and X are right there, and they're tied at number one, because I had fun making them. I love all the songs on the records, but you know, it was a fun time, and I can't wait to start writing new music. I'm so excited.
Yeah, this will be a different era in a sense too, now that BC is out, you know, left because of family things. And I mean, as everyone supported him so hard, that it was so heavily supported. I talked to him last night for a minute, and it was funny. I was just like, hey, I'm like, this is kind of interesting. I'm like, I'm really happy I'm mixing your last show, you know, like, because I met him, you know, back at the Majestic, like 2015 was the first
mixing
time.
The show.
Yeah. Well, recording the show.
The recording.
You know, and then, you know, having him come in the studio for Poison Red, I got to know him as a player and a person, and he's, you know, he's awesome. And then I got to meet his family, and that was awesome. And I understand why, you know, he made that choice, just from, you know, that family perspective.
Yeah.
We all have to make the sacrifices for as long as we can. I mean, I don't get to see my wife as much as I'd like to, because I'm 350 miles away from her when I work up north and live down south. You don't get to see your kids like you want to, because, you know, although yesterday they were all over you.
It was awesome. It was great.
I mean, that's always a thing at the Taste of Madison that I love, is the backstage family circus. Like, it's like,
I mean, we got the JJO people too that
that's
are family,
part of the family
to us too.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they're all, that's what I mean by that. It's like almost like a backyard cookout going on at that thing. You know, everybody's
it's awesome. It was
the only thing missing is a pool.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would be
I'll tell Randy, hey, can you bring a kiddie pool next time and put it
on one of those inflatable, like, 3 foot
so
deep.
So kids can just hang out there all day.
If it was hot. Like, yesterday wasn't that hot, and then the drizzle was kind of a little bit of a bummer, but held off for you guys. I think it rained a little during your set.
Maybe. I don't know. We've played it when it was raining. Like, not hard, but it was raining. But, yeah, it was a great weekend, you know, and... I'm super exhausted, you know.
And then you got to go back, rest, and get ready for the headlining run.
Yeah, I got, and we got more podcasting to do.
Oh, yeah, podcast next week.
Next week. And
basically, we're getting a few of these done ahead of time so that when Rivera goes and plays a month away from Chicago.
Which I can always still do the podcast on the road.
We can, and I can also come out and do one or two. I
mean, yeah.
Last episode was with the first episode of season two. And we've got plenty more to come, so keep it flagged and liked, and give us some comments and leave some stars and do all that great
5-star reviews are
five-star
very
reviews,
welcome.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be an interesting season two, and
lots more insight on things and just experiences that are always evolving, and you know, not only the studio business but the production business, the live business. I mean, just you guys not stopping and, you know, finishing up this album cycle, and then we can talk about, you know, albums and things that we like that are inspiring us, because we need to get re-inspired when it's time to write the next record, you know, and that's always a helpful thing. I know back when we were working on X, there were records everybody were listening to grab inspiration from, you know, just like revisiting your roots and finding things that may have inspired you to be a better musician so that you can bring that to the table. So we'll talk more about that too.
Definitely. But thank you everybody. Hopefully you didn't find us too boring.
This one's a pretty short and sweet episode.
So we will see you next week.
Yep.
Later.
We want to thank all of you for listening to the Robcast Podcast. Be sure and subscribe to get notified on all future episodes. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Robcast Podcast. And feel free to send us any comments, suggestions, guest ideas, topics, whatever, at robcastpodcast@gmail.com. That is robcastpodcast@gmail.com. Remember that the Rob has two B's. Enjoy your day.